At this time, we can read the scripture lesson for today. It will be found in the book of Luke, chapter 10. I'll be reading verses 1 through 20. Luke, chapter 10, reading verses 1 through 20. In Jesus' name. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. The one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Then the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time here today. And I ask that you would bring your words through me today and use me as your vessel. Let the words that come through me be the words that we all need to hear. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So the scripture today in Luke chapter 10, 1 through 20, we see where Jesus sent out disciples. So, Joe, I'll have you advance a screen here. So the first question that comes to mind is, what is a disciple? When we look at the definition of a disciple is a personal follower of Jesus Christ. A follower or a student of a teacher, leader, or philosopher. A disciple is someone who follows Christ and strives to imitate Christ as a model for others to follow. We see in 1 Corinthians where Paul states, "As you should imitate me, as I imitate Christ." Our goal as a disciple is to radiate Christ to others. When we think about being a disciple is an action. It's not something that's passive. Being a disciple is being a believer who exercises their faith. The faith of believing in God, being baptized, communing with other believers, repenting of our sins, and asking God's forgiveness. We'll jump forward another slide, Joe. So we often hear the other term of apostle. So I thought it would be beneficial to just look at what is the difference between a disciple and an apostle. So as we said, a disciple is a believer in Christ. A person, or an apostle, is a person who is sent out by Christ, specifically called by God to serve in the kingdom. When you look at the actual bare definition of an apostle is a person who was with Jesus, a person who Jesus has sent out to grow the church. The original 11 disciples and Paul, by that definition, are the only true apostles at this point. The three qualifications of the apostle was that they saw the resurrected Jesus, they had miraculous powers from the Holy Spirit, and they were chosen by Jesus. So by that definition, every apostle was a disciple, but not every disciple was an apostle. We are all called to be disciples for God's kingdom. If we look at Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission tells us to go forth and make disciples of all nations. So we'll jump forward to who does God use? When we're looking through the scriptures, we see the people that God has chosen to use to further his kingdom. In 2 Samuel, we see where David, who was one of the great kings and part of the line of Jesus, committed adultery and murder in the story of Bathsheba. In Judges, Samson, who was one of the strong, became infatuated with Delilah, revealed his secret. His hair was then cut, but God still used Samson to defeat many of the enemies of Israel. In the book of Matthew, we see where Peter denied Jesus three times. The book of Jonah, we all know the story of Jonah and the whale, where Jonah ran away from God's call to go to Nineveh and minister to the people there. Jonah ran away, but God brought him back. And by listening to God's call and being obedient to God, the city of Nineveh was spared. But even in that, Jonah still wasn't happy. But yet he came back to God and understood what God's call was. The book of Acts, we see where Saul was called by God. Saul, who actually changes his name to Paul after his conversion, was blinded by God as he was out persecuting Christians. While he was blinded, he prayed to God, and God sent Ananias, who laid hands on Saul and healed his blindness. In the book of Luke, we see Mary Magdalene, who was possessed by 7 demons. She was released from those demons and then witnessed Jesus' resurrection and ran to tell the disciples. Another example is Zacchaeus. We all know the story of Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man and a tax collector. Climbed a tree. He was disliked by most, but yet God used him in many ways. In the book of Judges, we see Gideon, who was called by God. He came from a poor family. He was full of fear, but yet God used him to rescue the Israelites from the Midianites. God also used Rahab in Joshua. She was a prostitute who was used by God to shield the spies who were sent into the town by Joshua. She hid them from the king's men. She helped them escape. And by that, her and her family were spared. The God that we serve is a merciful, loving, and forgiving God. We only need to repent and accept his forgiveness, Because God has a plan for each and every one of us. God has a plan for us in His kingdom. God will use anyone who is willing to let Him work through them. God doesn't care how you look or dress. He doesn't care about how nice your house is, what kind of car you drive. God only wants us to deliver His word. We are the ones who care about look, about sound. We are the ones who put down others. We are the ones who believe in popularity over substance. It's just in our human nature to judge people without truly getting to know them. So as we jump forward into what are some of the characteristics of a disciple? The characteristics of a disciple include teaching God's word. We are to go out and share with others. We are to show love and compassion. But we are also to stand firm in God's word. Through the Bible, we can see the will of God. We can see God's desire for our lives. Because the word of God is true. We are also called as disciples to fellowship with other believers. And by fellowshipping, that's not just showing up to Sunday morning service or Wednesday service, but it's also gathering outside of church together. Having meals together, spending time together, and in strengthening each other through encouragement. A disciple is also someone who will imitate Christ, study Scripture, and radiate that Scripture back into the world. We are to live like Christ. We are also to be dedicated and steadfast in investing in missions, both here and abroad. A mission field can take on any form. A mission field can be your own home. It could be in your own church, your community. It could be halfway around the world in a foreign country. So going forward into what we are called to do with the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20 is the Great Commission. And it says, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Ephesians 4 calls for unity within the body of Christ. We are to lead a life worth calling, for we have all been called by God. We are to be humble and gentle, be patient with each other. We are to keep ourselves united in the Spirit, binding ourselves together with peace. It says here that there's also only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. God has given each of us a special gift that we are to use through our discipleship. Gifts that He has given to the church are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. When you read this message, gifts to our church are Pastor Kent, intern Pastor Joe, our Sunday school teachers, our leaders. Those are the gifts to our church. Their responsibility is to equip all of us as God's people to go out and do God's work and to build the body of Christ. God makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each one of us has a special job. We each have something that we are good at. We are all given special gifts by the Spirit. In our scripture message today, we saw where God sent out the 72 disciples that he had chosen. He sent them in pairs of two. There is a reason for sending them in pairs. One of the reasons is to hold each other accountable. Accountability helps us to stay on path. You also have safety in numbers. And by working as a team, the work is easier. They were there to bring God's word to the non-believers. They were given authority to heal and drive out demons, but they were not promised easy work. In fact, they were told the opposite. They were told that they were going to be as sheep with the wolves. The work was not easy, but it was rewarding. When they returned, they were full of joy. And Jesus told them not to rejoice over the power that they had, but to rejoice because their names had been registered in heaven. So how does this apply to us today? God wants us to reach out. All of us have been given a gift by the Spirit. Some have been given the gift of teaching. Some have been given the gift of healing. Some have been given the gift of growing, or caring, or serving. Jesus does not say anything about how we will measure success. We are to share God's message. We are not to judge. God will judge in the end. But we are to rejoice at our salvation and bring his message to all that we encounter. A quote that I came across while studying for this message is from Saint Teresa of Avila. She said, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes with which Christ looks out his compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he can go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now." This quote speaks to what being a disciple is. We are God's messenger. God will work through us to show Christ to the world. We are to strive to imitate Christ in all that we do. We will never achieve perfection in this life, which is why we need Christ. We remember that a disciple is a believer who exercises their faith. Part of that exercise will be done today through communion. We sit and praise God. We repent and seek his forgiveness. A song that I listened to back when I was in high school, started out with a rather intriguing first line. It says, "The leading cause of atheism in this world is Christians." When I sat and thought about how could this be, it became clear. As Christians, we can be some of the worst examples of Christ. We gossip, we judge others, we live sinful lives. We do not demonstrate Christ to others. We have a tendency as humans to imitate those around us. We will imitate coworkers, family members, imitate famous people. The exact opposite of what God calls us to do as disciples. We look around us today and we see things like postmodernism and the woke movement infecting the church. As I was scrolling Facebook this week, I came across an interesting meme that kind of hit close to home. It said, "Biblical Christianity is unpopular, but popular Christianity is unbiblical." We cannot conform to the world and to Christ. If we try to conform to this world, we are rejecting Christ. But if we conform to Christ, we are rejecting the world. Only Christ can give us salvation and eternal life. Another quote that I had come across this week was from Dwight L. Moody. It says that church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood is to a sick man. We need time of fellowship. Through fellowship, we can be refreshed and refueled. It seems like every week there's a new article coming out talking about the decline of church membership and attendance, which is concerning. We are called as disciples to work in the fields. We are called to bring God's word to the people. But as fewer people attend church, there are fewer workers to send. So 1 Thessalonians 5 encourages us to build each other up. Well, 1 Peter chapter 4 encourages us to cheerfully share our home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. In Acts 2, it says that all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and sharing in meals and to prayer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is quoted as saying that Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. When we water down the scriptures or apologize for the Word of God, we are taking Christ out of our faith. Many denominations do this today by cherry-picking what they teach. We see churches that preach the prosperity gospel, where the more you give to the church, the more God will give to you. Or that good works are all you need to get to heaven. As long as you're a good person, you're fine. Teaching that love is love, it doesn't matter who you love. Or even mixing religions, where all gods are the same God. And the newest that I've come across is the self-love movement, where you just do what feels good. I was interested when I was looking and studying that I came across a term called Sheilaism. That's the term for self-love. It's the religion of self-love. And it came out through a book where a lady named Sheila Larson was quoted in 1985. She said, "I believe in God, but I'm not a religious fanatic. I can't remember the last time I went to church. My faith has carried me a long way, just my own little voice. I just try to love myself and be gentle with myself, but we need to take care of each other." This is an attempt to transform the external authority of God into an internal authority. By taking the external authority away, we are rejecting God. The thought of, as long as I'm not hurting someone else, it's okay, is not what God has intended. Doing what feels right to you may not be what God wants. So disciples are to stand strong in our faith. This will offend other people. But even when we offend others, we are still to love them. Even though it's not in the Bible, the quote out there that goes, "Love the sinner, hate the sin," is very applicable. God calls us to love all people. Even in their sin, we are to love them and encourage them. We are not to judge, as hard as that can be. And I look back to Jonah in the city of Nineveh. When God saved and spared the city of Nineveh, Jonah was angry. He wanted God to punish and destroy Nineveh. But God shared a message with Jonah that proves God is truly in control. In Ephesians 6, we read that we will harvest what we plant. We are also told that we are to guide those overcome with sin. We are to share each other's burdens, pay attention to our own work, for we are responsible for our actions. Do not tire of doing good work, and do not quit, for in the end we will reap a harvest of blessing. So in my conclusion today, you are all of the disciples of Christ. As we sit here today, we are all called in some way to serve God's kingdom. Our service will not be the same. What I do will not be the same as what my wife does or my children. God has given us all different gifts. Where one of us is weak, another is strong. And we need to utilize our gifts in those ways. Live the characteristics of a disciple. Be an example of Christ. Amen.